Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the NRF1 podcast here in Norwich, Norfolk, the home of this Formula One podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I have an esteemed panel with me once again to chat through the Spanish Grand Prix held in the beautiful surroundings of Barcelona, although maybe not quite such a beautiful race was had. Let me welcome the panel to you now. We have the Mr. Oracle of a few years ago, desperate to regain his title, Kyle Cumbers. Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
Are you well?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you very much. Yeah, not bad. Busy, busy bees, but aren't we all? Richard Baxter is here. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
How are you? I think I've got that shirt. You're wearing my shirt.
I thought probably. It was a gift from my sister a few years ago, so...
She obviously has great taste. I don't know who bought my shirt, but I've only just realised that. So we'll tweet a picture of it.
Cool. I found it hanging on the back of my door yesterday.
Oh my God, it is my shirt. No, brilliant stuff. And you may have heard his jovial, what would you call it?
Giggle.
Richard's on top form tonight.
Bold. Bold to go with giggle first, Richard, I have to say. I prefer a hearty guffaw, personally, or even a mirthsome chuckle.
Yeah, you know who it is now. It's Perry Hamilton. Good evening, Ped.
Hi. It's wonderful to be back.
Yeah.
It's like putting on a wonderfully comfortable pair of shoes that I've had from the very beginning.
Exactly. That you helped make.
I created my own shoes and then I ignored them for a while.
Now, we haven't quite got a handle on why it's been so long since you've been on here. That were emails, didn't get there. And
I stopped joining you towards the end of last season because I stopped watching and therefore I wasn't going to be in a place to be able to talk about it. And then the NFL season started, which of course always takes over my Sundays.
Tom Brady, hey? If only this was an NFL podcast.
Such good things. And then I think as we've discussed, there would be there's just a bit of a breakdown of communication email-wise. But it's great to get called out on Twitter. I think you're probably the second people to ever tweet me about F1, even though I always give my Twitter handle out.
Oh, it's changed now.
It's changed now a little bit.
Yeah, we just get abuse now. No, we don't. We've got a good following on Twitter. Hello, everyone. Excellent. Following us on Twitter, and you can listen to the podcast directly on Twitter now. It's crazy.
Can you? Is that a thing? I need to catch up with technology.
Also, we've got people listening to this podcast in Canada, America, Australia, Japan.
Wow.
In fact, they're the places where there are more people listening to it there than in England, because maybe English people don't like Norwich. I don't know.
I can't imagine why they wouldn't like Norwich.
For the record, Norwich is a beautiful city.
A fine city.
And everyone should visit. So anyway, Formula One, it happened. Now, if you are listening and you're not near to the area or au fait with the world of football, and by that I mean soccer, it is quite a busy time at the moment here. With Norwich City doing well, to a degree, in the playoffs, which has kept me busy. So when I watched the Spanish Grand Prix, I watched the highlights that BBC nicely put out in a nice package, and I fell asleep first time through them. And I don't know if it was because the race was a bit dull or because I was very tired. I got through them the second time, just about. So how did we find the race weekend? Because to me, it seemed a pretty poor race.
It was a typical Spanish Grand Prix. Barcelona, I can't remember too many great races at that track. The layout, just a lack of overtaking. It's never a bad race, but it's just always just decent. Yeah, it's a decent race. I think they need to change the circuit, possibly. Create maybe bits of weather. I don't know. Just somehow
create some weather.
Just like that.
I mean, they're doing a test, aren't they, after the race? So do they have to? And they do a lot of pre-season testing there. Do they have to race there because they test there? Could they just test there and not bother racing?
Well, they could. I mean, you look at Jerez, which is pre-season test circuit, and they never go there on the calendar. I mean, MotoGP do, I think, go there, but Formula One doesn't. So I mean, they could quite happily go to Barcelona for testing. I suppose it would be all right because it's a circuit that pretty much everyone knows, and it's, I could say if it's not a race circuit, then it's neutral ground for everyone.
Just imagine if the only European race we had left was Barcelona.
I'd be devastated. but to your point, okay, you've got Jerez, you've got Barcelona, and lest I mention Valencia as a track, which I think we're all glad is no longer on the calendar. But
except the last race in Valencia was brilliant.
But you imagine turning round to the rabid fans of F1 in Spain and saying, by the way, guys, we're only going to test there pre-season. We're not actually going to come and race with you. F1's about making money, and whether we find that race boring on TV or not, those Spanish fans, they've got three drivers on the grid now. What's that? As many British drivers.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, you've got three British drivers. You've got three Spanish drivers. And, you know, Sainz is doing well. Mary's never going to do much, but Sainz is doing well. Fernando Alonso's a folk hero over there. You take away their home Grand Prix and they'll revolt.
Maybe they could just change the first corner, make it a bit more of a heavy braking zone. Because it's quite a quick corner, isn't it? And
yeah.
So it's hard to overtake them.
As it is, it tends to be the main place for action.
Thanks to DRS, but if it was more heavy braking, possibly a solution, but...
Yeah.
I'll draw up the plans.
We'll put that on Twitter as well, and people may see it. So, well, we did have a Spanish Grand Prix anyway. Nico Rosberg won it. It was his comeback, wasn't it? This was the comeback. This was the it's on.
Yeah, basically. He came from he came out in qualifying, put it on pole, which he, I don't think he's done all season either, has he?
No, first pole, wasn't it?
And then he just seems to. He started well, which he doesn't always do. And Hamilton, who usually starts well, didn't. He went backwards. And, Rosberg was away. He just, you know, had it all his way that weekend. And I don't know, maybe he just... I don't know whether he had a change of frame of mind, kind of... If he was in a different frame of mind, I should say.
Yeah.
And he maybe just... Yeah, just went out, did something different and just found his rhythm with the car.
It's a classic thing. Because it's gone well, he probably does think that he... I mean, I don't think he said that he changed anything particularly, but he obviously... felt that it was his something he had done that made sure that he had such a good weekend, whereas in truth could have been anything, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's quite quick there last year, I think, and pushed Hamilton all the way for the victory then. It was much needed, because if he hadn't won, where his season would have gone, he would have just become number two driver,
I think. Or the season in general, to be honest.
And the championship needed it as well.
I think you make a good point there, Michael, when you say, is it on? I don't think it's on, but it's definitely not off. I think this
still on standby.
Yeah, I mean, this could have been, you know. Sorry, I mean, if you think about it, not that many races into the season. We've only just got back to Europe. Lewis Hamilton could have DNF'd this race. Rosberg could have won. Lewis would still be leading the championship, and that's a pretty big gap to have against probably the person who's closest in the field to you.
And it's reached around now, because now it's only down to 20 points. I mean. If Hamilton fails to, you know, finish and Rosberg wins, and he goes ahead in the championship, so it's much closer now than it was, at least.
I think it's a bit too soon to say Rosberg's now got momentum. I think he's just stopped Hamilton's momentum. People say, it's now in Rosberg's hands and strength's behind him now, but it's too early for that.
And it's so difficult to carry momentum into the next race because of what the next race is. It's almost impossible to carry momentum into Monaco because it's a crapshoot.
Except for the fact that Nico has won there the last 2 years, I think. So if anyone could carry momentum through Monaco,
yeah.
It'd be Nico at his home race. Nonetheless, of course. In terms of Lewis then, I mean, it was a sticky start. It was interesting that I think Nico said that he'd returned to last season's clutch on his car, which, or whatever the system is, I guess it's not just a clutch pedal, so, or some sort of weird paddle. So they have double clutches and all sorts of
things. Maybe that explained the start he got there, because before he wasn't really doing much at the start, and now he seems to get away really well. So
he did have a cracking start.
He did. He certainly felt so. Lewis's obviously was a peak. The car got bogged down. The pit stop, he had a dodgy pit stop as well. They're just things that we haven't really seen, have they? And it was interesting qualifying afterwards. He was like, well, if I can't get past him straight off the line, that's it, basically. So he'd almost resigned himself to a damage limitation exercise.
Yes, I said he's. I can't remember the last bad start he's had before this one. So he can't moan too much about it. Probably the first pit stop delay. He may have got it past Vettel and may have been able to possibly chase Rosberg down, but I don't think he'd have overtook him, because Rosberg always had the... preferential pit stop, but it was entertaining as always on his radio messages.
Well, Lewis wanted to push, didn't he, at the end, and his engineer basically said, "Nah,
it's not going to happen." He wanted his engineer to tell him point blank that he couldn't do it, So he kept saying, is it possible? He said, it's not impossible. He's like, no, no, no. And there was this little back and forth of like, we're almost like arguing semantics. I'm just like, you're going 200 miles around a racetrack and you can be that picky. I mean, I'm a pedantic person, but I just thought, no, just, right, he obviously doesn't ever want to say no to his driver, but you got the feeling that that's what he was very calmly trying to just be like, let it go, son. There's always next time. Kind of thing.
It was the, but is it impossible?
Yeah. Yeah. And remarkably, that exchange was going on through corners. Who knew?
See, for me, I hate that. I hate an engineer to say to your driver, it's impossible, give up, settle for second. You think, no, it's racing, let him have a go if he thinks he can do it. If I was an engineer, I'd rather say to the driver, okay, your teammate is 10 seconds ahead of you, you've got 10 laps left or something, so then your driver can work out, okay, we need a second a lap, a bit more to get past, or something, you know, and then the driver can decide. Give him the information, don't tell him what to do. That's always my feeling on it.
Okay, it's time for these. That's right, it's the NRF1 Pit Stops with Dave Tillier's pit stop impression.
We still use that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'd love to get Dave back in as well.
Absolutely.
It's been a long time. Get old Mr. Tillier back.
Call him out on Twitter, that works.
I will do, yeah. Predictions, it's always the predictions. Right. It was the predictions, wasn't it? It's always the predictions.
I think there should also be a special pit stop impression for Barcelona, which was basically a front jack man just going...
Well, as you brought that up, I was going to start with Lotus and Romain Grosjean, who had an eventful day of it, most definitely. He smashed up Pastor Maldonado's rear wing, which is very strange because it was sort of balancing on... one plinth almost.
Or was it Maldonado that cramped Grosjean?
Yeah, well, I didn't really see a proper. Didn't Grosjean go off and then.
Yeah, he came back on. And
was it Maldonado who went off and then Grosjean hit him from.
Grosjean
went
over. I can't
remember, to be honest. Yeah. I was asleep at this point.
Yeah, Grosjean ran wide, came back on. Maldonado trying to overtake on the outside. But
that's right.
Then sort of crushed him a little bit and somehow broke his rear wing.
I'm shocked. I, for one, am shocked at the incident involving Pastor Maldonado. I have, for a long time, championed both his integrity and talent as a consummate racing professional.
Wow, you've been away a long time. And you were going to write a blog, weren't you, on the NRF1.uk?
I'm going to look into his past and see how good he actually is. Because we do give a bit of abuse on this podcast, but
and his GP2 reputation as well would be interesting.
I did look back, he was banned in Monaco, or banned from Monaco at one point.
In GP2?
Yeah.
He was just banned from Monaco.
Just full stop. Banned from the principality.
Wasn't even allowed to the airport.
I think he ran over a marshal. I have to look into it. I think he ran over a marshal.
Allegedly.
Yeah, there was some big accident that happened and he injured someone, I think. And I did hear about that as well, yeah.
And the way I read it, he was just banned from Monaco, full stop. But obviously he's back because he's been racing.
Well, let's hope so. Someone better tell them. So, it's worth saying, we had some great blogs over the last few days. Richard, you wrote one on McLaren, didn't you? And Kyle, you did betting. I haven't checked, actually. I meant to check how the bets, whether they came in or not. Did you have a little look?
A slight loss.
A slight loss. Said like a true bookie. So loads of stuff. And we're going to build up the blogs. Ben will write a blog, I'm sure.
Of course.
I mean, I need to get on with writing. Once the football season, soccer season finishes, I'll join in with those. But you can read all those, nrf1.uk/blogs F1, I think, off the top of my head. If not, you'll get something that bounces your back. But anyway, Roman, he had his little tangle with Pastor, and then he drove into the pit stop and effectively drove into the guy on the jack, who might have been called Jack, I don't know. But... it was brutal, wasn't it? Because he was doing a fair whack.
Yeah, well, you realise, I mean, they hit the pit limiter and you go, oh, they're going slow. They're not going slow. That's still a fairly fast car. You don't want to get hit by that. And even when they pull into the pit box, it's still a very sharp hit. I mean, we saw a couple, didn't we? Because Fernando's brakes went as well. He had pit woes. Luckily, his jackman was quite... sharp and just going, nope, I'm out. Drop the jack, I'm done, you don't pay me enough money for that. So I mean, luckily you saw a shot of the guy, he seemed all right, he seemed to be laughing it off and icing himself to reduce swelling, as it were.
Where was that?
He seemed right. He seemed okay. And it's just a level of immaturity that we shouldn't expect, but we now do. And it's only with these two guys. I mean, look, Will Stevens is probably the most inexperienced guy on that track right now. Jos Verstappen, 17 years old. Max Verstappen, Jos's kid, that's it. 17 years old. I'd be shocked if he drove into his jet. He's just shown such a level of performance that you're looking at people like Pastor and Roman and thinking, you don't even have an excuse now. You just don't. It's so infuriating.
This is what happens when you have one team in Formula One with Norfolk connections. You see, it's a bit that Lotus are the equivalent of this podcast in Formula One circles, I think, which works. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Well, sometimes in Norfolk, there's the attitude of just going slowly. It's quite laid back. And I think Grosjean maybe had one of those moments, came to the pits and thought, I'll break in a minute, and then suddenly realised, oh, no.
Who put him there? Yeah, quite. And he also got told off about his engine as well, didn't he, from one of the engineers. I think about either turning it down or coasting. And his engineer had a proper go at him.
Oh, yeah,
it was like, no, Roman, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
Something,
you know. Big boss. Was it... what's his name now?
Nick Chester?
Yes. He came on, I think, didn't he, and sort of said, no, you need to do this.
Brilliant.
That's what you want from an engineer, though, is to straight, decisive. If it's the team order, don't say, oh, please, can you do this? You say, no, you must do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, driver's got no choice. And if he disobeys, then give him a fine or something.
Exactly. And then, of course, they had Mark Webber as one of the BBC pundits that they could then ask for his reaction to Romain Grosjean. I don't think he called him a first-lap nutcase or anything, but he was probably quite tempted. McLaren, I've got next, with the words, oh dear, written next to them. As we said last time out, this was it. As Fernando himself said, you know, all the troubles were over. It was going to happen from now. And it didn't.
Yes. Button describing it as the scariest 30 laps of his career. It's not good for car designer or engine supplier.
What did he mean in terms of the drive or how bad it was?
Was he just saying every time he put his...
Every time he put his foot down, he got wheel spin.
Yeah.
Every time. There's no traction in the car, nothing. You can't feel secure and safe like that.
So that's mostly mapping and various things. Alonso was going quite well until his brakes stopped working, which was through his...
Seventh in one point.
Yeah.
Halfway through the race, he was up in seventh, so it was looking all right.
So, which is his fault, wasn't it? Because it was his visor strip, yeah. They got on the brake duct.
Is that right?
Apparently so, yeah.
Well, that's pretty harsh.
Because I don't know how they knew it was his, but...
It probably says Fernando on it. I think everything that Fernando owns says his name on it somewhere or has some kind of signature on it, doesn't it? I mean,
that's not since his accident, is he? And he now needs it to remember. That's not obviously a joking matter. I think it was Kimi who was also struggling to take off his visor cleaning thingamajig, whatever you call it.
Yes.
It took like two goes. Yeah, tear off. Tear off indeed. But, you know... Okay, the car may not be great, but what about the new livery?
Oh, murdered out. Looks awesome. A good friend of mine claims when everything's all blacked out, it's murdered out. My only gripe, we need more matte black. We need more matte black.
I was thinking, yeah.
That glossy, shiny stuff. No, we need that matte black. But I think the gloss is probably quicker.
Well, I was wondering that aerodynamically. Yeah,
genuinely, I think having that shiny surface probably makes it smoother for the air to run.
Yeah, they took a kilo off the weight, apparently. The old paint scheme.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
I wonder what.
I don't know. Paint?
I suppose what? So, yeah.
Less, fewer transfers?
Yeah.
Well, that's bizarre. It's
funny you look at history when Mercedes first entered Formula One, they got their silver colour because I think they were going to be black, but then the car was several grams too heavy, so they scraped off all the paint and ended up silver.
How about that?
Under the weight limit or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, spot on. A couple of grams, yeah.
I love that.
And you say about the matte black cars as well, and you look at Red Bull's so-called camouflaged livery in pre-season. But I quite like that, to be honest.
Oh,
that's better than their one now.
I liked it. I liked it. I'll go on record and say I liked it.
What are you talking about?
I think if I had to watch it for 66 laps hairing around the track, I'd probably start to feel a little queasy. But to look at, I quite liked it. I don't think there's enough... I mean, I actually was... You guys probably did this at the beginning of the season, but I wasn't here. But I also think Sauber, I think for maybe like 2-3 years in a row now, have had a very nice looking car, but they've been different each time. So this yellow and blue that they've got this year, I really like, but I think the prize always still goes to Williams with that martini stripe.
Well, it's interesting you mention Williams. They're next on my list. Have you been reading my list?
I haven't. No, I've just got good taste.
Bottas, back on it. Back on full form. Good signs from Williams, actually, that they maybe closed the gap a little bit at a time when everyone was bringing upgrades.
Yeah, it appears they've closed the gap for Ferrari. Maybe sort of Ferrari have gone, we're in the middle of Mercedes and Williams have gone a bit further towards Williams. But yeah, Bottas held off a Ferrari again, which he's done in Bahrain. Yeah, he's just Mr. Consistent, really, isn't he?
He is.
The ice boy, as somebody described him.
The ice boy.
Ice man going after the ice boy, yeah.
Sort of a backhanded compliment that is, isn't it? And there were rumours linking Ferrari with Valtteri Bottas, which got a bit tasty doing it over the weekend. Some people didn't like it. I don't think Williams were best pleased. And, you know, could you see that happening?
I think it's a rite of passage, isn't it? If you're a young, successful Formula One driver, at some point someone's going to turn around and go, Ferrari, because it's the dream. I mean, it is. They are... They're one of the most well-known names in racing and car manufacturing as well. They are the epitome. That's where you go to win championships, supposedly. But that's the dream. That's why Vettel's driving there. You know, he's not dreaming about driving for Mercedes as a German. He grew up idolising Schumacher and wanting to drive for Ferrari. So at any point, you've got a successful driver. At some point, someone's going to go... It's like, and I'm going to try a football analogy here, Michael.
Oh. Soccer or football?
Soccer. At some point, you have a young, successful, say, Portuguese or Spanish player, and someone somewhere will suddenly go, he's going to go to Man City, or he's going to go to Man United. They're going to key him to one of the big Premier clubs in the UK. Even if it's not true, someone will say it somewhere along the line. I think this is very similar to that.
Love it. Just a couple of other things I wanted to mention. Force India, I think both drivers were out in Q1, were they?
17th, 19th.
First time that had happened in years and years. I can't remember the exact year.
The old days when they first came in. Well, they first bought Spyker, where it was at the time.
Eesh. Ouch. And Toro Rosso, they had a pretty nice qualifying and a decent race, didn't they, I think, in the end as well? Carlos Sainz started to see signs of him properly. Although, can anyone clear up why he didn't have to give his place back at the end of the Grand Prix?
Because I think what it was, as Sainz was on the outside, he had... I think he was slightly ahead, and then Kvyat locked up, and then there was a coming together, which is why he was basically forced wide. I think that was the reason behind it. But I'm not a race steward, so I can't say for certain.
I don't think it's a difficult job. I think that was perfectly fine, Richard. Thank you. Well cleared up.
I think it's a shame because the one consistent thing we've always had from Toro Rosso over the last few years is straight line speed. And that team always used to be incredibly fast in a straight line, but they used to lose it in the corners. And now, they were second slowest in the speed traps to Manor in a straight line. That's that Renault engine. That's a change from the Ferrari power to the Renault power this year. Now, if you'd have been able to combine last year's power with this year's aero on that car, you'd have people challenging for podiums. And, you know, and with the never say die, devil may care, another metaphor attitude that... these guys have got, Verstappen and Sainz have got, you've got some serious guys out there who can make a difference. I just think they need a few things to go right for them with power.
Fifth and sixth in qualifying, and as you say, a bit more power, they probably could have got top three, you'd have thought.
Yeah. Renault.
Poor Renault.
Of the weekends, he said. Don't have a little sting for this. Never did. Maybe we should.
Maybe we should.
Is that a goat? That didn't sound like a goat, did it? Anyway, driver of the weekend. Who wants to start the bidding for a driver of the weekend?
Rosberg.
I don't know who Arm is, but Rosberg.
It's an easy answer, isn't it? So.
Yeah. We can't ignore the easy answers because sometimes they're the right ones. But...
I'm going to pick a Finn, but I don't know which one yet.
Boy or man. Right, we'll get back to bed. Carlos Sainz, I think, thought I had a good weekend. He would be one of my suggestions, I think. Look at actually who finished where. Well, like Bottas, I'm quite impressed again.
Yeah. Well, Ricciardo had a pretty good race, finishing seventh with the maximum he could get out of the car.
Ugh.
I was slightly annoyed because I did predict going to come top six.
Yeah.
Just outside.
So. Wait for the predictions, Kyle. Second podcast.
I think I will go... I think I'm going to go Kimi.
Okay.
Purely because the movie pulled on the first lap, going round the outside and just holding that line was possibly the most action you saw on track in terms of an overtake. But it was just classic Kimi. Just didn't want to give up, was just tenacious with it, but so cool. So cool under pressure. So I'm going to give it to Kimi, even though he came in fifth. But Kyle gave it to someone who came in seventh. So
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it to Kimi, who came in fifth. But honourable mention to Bottas, who had a stonking race for Williams.
That's fine, but I think Rich is probably right. Probably wasn't he? Goat of the weekend. What does a goat? I couldn't know.
Yeah, carry on. Yeah. It bleats just like that. Just like that. It sounds exactly like that.
Anyway,
I would have said Alonso, partly for what he said in the previous race about this will be, you know, this will be the last time we're out of the points. You know, given at the beginning, our car's going to be great. We're going to be up there. No, rubbish. That's really annoyed me again, because as Carl alluded to earlier, the predictions. I won't say any more, but.
Oh, he's just put his fist on the table. Yes. That's a fair point. But I would say Roman, because he drove into a good guy. Roman. And maybe he's just giving Pastor a week off.
Kvyat. I thought he had quite a poor race. He's been
struggled a few few races on a
Toro Rosso boys are sort of outshining him, really. Even Helmut Marko came out and said it's not good enough. Golden boy from last year is struggling.
Was he, though? He was... I mean,
I thought he was pretty damn good last year.
He was good last year, but...
I was impressed with him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a bit disappointed so far.
You're allowed. You're allowed to be. That's fine. Team of the weekend.
I partly want to say Red Bull / Renault, just because Ricciardo's engine didn't blow up.
Yeah. Back on the predictions again, Richard. Yeah, that is true. That is a minor success.
I think Mercedes really fair. Dominating Ferrari
and opening up the gap again, possibly.
Yeah, I think they just back to the old Mercedes from last year.
Yay!
I'll give it to Williams. Close the gap to Ferrari. Strong performances from both drivers. So just they're driving fairly mistake free at the moment. They've got some good consistency out of their drivers. Their car's not the most dependable thing in the world, but it's better than better than most. So. I'll give it to Williams.
Lovely job. Which just leaves highlight. Who's highlight? What was your highlight of the weekend? You know what I mean.
It's good to hear Hammer Time back.
Very early, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. So that's good to hear back. I'm struggling with my highlight this year.
My sleep was good in the first watch.
I'll go with Kimi's move. Kimi's move on the first lap, round the outside. I think it was round the outside of a Toro Rosso. Off the top of my head, I can't remember which one. Carl's right. Some of those radio messages out there were quite hilarious. Seb lost his cool at one point, didn't he? He got quite shouty about blue flags.
Yes. I know they're having their own race, but still.
Like just justify it. It makes me chuckle. So yeah. So some good radio messages, but on track it was Kimi.
I still liked the way the Lotus Jack man managed to hold on to the jack as he was feet in the air, flying about 6 feet back, and he still, managed to lift the car up. And if that was me, I'd just be rolling around just like, no, I'm dead, I'm out of it. That car's not going anywhere. I'm hurt too much.
But he's well within his rights to do so, isn't he? Because they all pit crews have a backup jack man, don't they? Am I wrong in this? They all have standing to the side a second guy with a second jack in case the first jack fails. You've just been knocked 6 foot back by a Formula One car, mate. Roll out of the way, let someone else jump on that grenade.
But he did try. The guy was there and he went to grab it, but the other guy was still clinging on, probably out of dear life and shock horror. Yeah. So they haven't quite factored that in yet. The two things I wanted to mention, there was a camera in the final corner on the outside curb that they had a shot from, and the cars kept missing it, and I kept thinking, and they showed it once at the start of the race, and I thought, I wonder who's going to run over that camera first. And then I don't think they ever showed the camera view again. So that game didn't really catch on, sadly. And post-race interview, Lewis Hamilton had his sunglasses on, as they all do, which I hate. Take your sunglasses off. But he took them off, And then he sort of balanced them on his neck. It was remarkable. They just sort of sat around his neck.
Skillful.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know how he managed that. That was a genuine highlight.
All right.
Is that another one of his hip-hop shenanigans he seems to have going with the massive gold chain, which really annoys me as well?
He's pretty gangster.
Well, he's trying. Have you seen him play football? He was playing football. He raced back on Sunday night to play...
Thierry Henry, didn't he?
Yeah, I did see something about that. Was he good?
He wasn't bad. He got kicked off the park a bit.
Put his foot in as well.
Jamie Carragher looked at Lewis and went, yeah, I'll take you down. Which is fair enough. Right, well, I think that wraps up. I think we've done quite well to get half an hour out of that race. So, well done, everyone. What have we got on? Well, there'll be a preview to the Monaco Grand Prix coming up. It's a two-week gap, isn't it, between these two races? I thought they were back-to-back originally, but it's a two-week gap. So we'll have a preview podcast for you over the coming days, which we're just about to record. So enjoy that, and you'll be able to listen to that in the usual places. It'll be posted on our Twitter feed, which is @thenrf1. You can also subscribe on iTunes. Just search NRF1. I think it'll pop up. Or you can look on our website, which is nrf1.uk. All the links will be there for the podcast, for our blogs, and for the Prediction League, which we'll get stuck into in a moment, and we'll have plenty of other stuff coming up on there as well. You can get hold of us all individually on Twitter as well, as Ped mentioned earlier. I'm at Michael J. Bailey. Ped?
At PedHD56. It hasn't changed.
Still hasn't changed. Richard?
Bax_kid.
And Kyle?
At KGumbers.
So you can see us all there, and we'll get a picture up of Richard's shirt as well. Is it my shirt? I still think it's my shirt. Anyway, we will see you again soon. Until then, goodbye.